I enjoyed it. I walked out of that having a lot of fun watching the movie, and that's what it's about. And they captured the magic.
I want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Yep, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
Oh, welcome back, everybody, to the SideQuest Podcast. This is Eric, and I'm sure you all missed me last week, but Justin and Jeff and Palindrome Jedi did a fine job with May the 4th Be With You. Wow, oops, already. I'm back to old habits, wow. But nice job on the episode, boys. I was very pleased. I listened to it on the plane right home. A lot of funny parts, a lot of funny bits, and you guys really... I'm so glad you guys did it because I add little to no value to Star Wars, so I'm sure our listeners out there are very happy that I missed it, too. So I guess a big thank you is in order to me, so why doesn't everybody just roll the red carpet out for that?
Just a big thanks.
Big thanks. So I'm back now, and we have to warn everybody in this episode, in the very first half here, we are going to be discussing some very, very, very heavy Multiverse of Madness spoilers. Justin and Jeff both saw it. I have not seen it yet, and this is like...
This is a big fail. This is pretty bad.
I think when I get to the pearly gates, when the time comes... He's going to look at the list of all the things I've done wrong, and this is going to be on that list for sure. I'm being judged. I've never, I think, gone past maybe 3 days after release of a new Marvel movie or show. So I apologize, everybody. I won't be able to join on the conversation, but Justin and Jeff got it covered. So, boys, I'm going to hit the quest sound. Then I'm going to hit, I don't know, I'm going to go hang out in the bathroom or something. Like we're on a like radio trivia show where apparently they go into another booth and it's all soundproof, which is bullshit, but... I'm going to let you two carry it away and get real weird with it. Go into the madness, enjoy the conversation, and I can't wait to listen to it when the time comes. So here is your main quest. Jump right in, boys.
Beep, boop, beep.
I believe Eric missed it, because that's pretty upsetting. Especially for someone who sees Marvel... Pretty much almost on the day it comes out. I mean, he's got a better track record than I do. So
he could have gone to the theater today as we're recording. No excuse. I don't damn your job. Go see the movie, Eric. Just fail.
When I was in Norway, I got there like in the middle of the day. So all like the hiking stuff was either happening or it was already done for the day. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to check into my place. Get situated. I went and saw a movie in another country on a trip because I'm like, well, I gotta go do this. Saw a Marvel movie. It's not that difficult.
Excuses. But let's dive into this. We obviously sat next to each other. We tickled each other during the movie. Let's start with your number. What is your number reaction in comparison to what it was in last week's episode?
Yeah, so I think it's about the same because it took me like till the middle of the movie is when it like struck of what I was watching. I think at the beginning I was like, it's weird, it's different. It wasn't bad or anything. I was just like, there's something different about this. And then as I slowly just was watching and thinking, I was like, oh, wait, this is like a totally different type of Marvel movie. And then after we saw it, and the next day, I thought about it even more. And I was like, yeah, I want to go see it again because I figured it out. It didn't follow the whole cookie cutter, you know, typical Marvel movie, like what we saw with Falcon and the Winter Soldier and the latest Black Widow movie and stuff. It didn't follow that. It reminded me of Ragnarok, but totally different. Ragnarok was this crazy, weird comedy, almost whatever, but it was so different. And that's why I loved it. And then I was watching this and I was like, wow, there are all these weird Evil Dead. Why are there so many Evil Dead references? The whole movie had Evil Dead references, which I love Evil Dead. I know, Justin, you only see it like once or not all of them, but I love the Evil Dead series. I love Ash and all that. And I was just like, holy shit. And then I was like in the theater checking. I was like, oh, Sam Raimi filmed this. And I was like, well, that makes sense. And then I got a whole new appreciation for the film. I kind of wish this came out during October, because I feel it would have been better during Halloween season. But once I figured out he is Doctor Strange, he's fucking weird. I mean, his whole name is Strange. So the whole thing should be weird and odd and kind of creepy. And then I started really getting an appreciation for the movie and what they were trying to do. And I love that they did something different. I thought we were going in to see Doctor Strange 2, just Doctor Strange 1 with, you know, it was going to follow the same formula, look the same, feel the same. And instead, we got this really cool, very odd kind of horror, kind of creepy, kind of darker, still fun. I don't know. I just really now, after thinking about it, really liked it, really want to go and watch it again and see all the different Easter eggs in it. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. It just took me a minute to figure out why I liked it.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great response. And like, even in hearing you talk about it, kind of excites me to maybe see it again, because I'm not as positive as you are in my reaction.
Yeah, I think it might be again, but anyway, go ahead.
I will give it the following good credentials, like tip of the cap to you, Sam Raimi. It felt very much like a new author stepped in to write and illustrate Doctor Strange, which was awesome. Like, from the very opening scene, it felt very comic booky, which I appreciate. I thought that was great. The horror elements were fantastic. There was, I don't know if you noticed, but there was time. There was jump scares in this movie where I actually...
And here's the thing, and here's where I got excited about it and then got a little teed off about it. When Ramley, how do you say his last name?
Raimi.
Raimi. When you could see when he got full control over a scene, it just went bananas, and it was so much fun. And then you could see where, like, the Marvel people are like, oh, you got to do this one Marvel thing, though. And then it would bring it back to, like, the more Marvel, which is fine, but I'm like, they should have just let him go nuts with it, because you see all these moments that the horror moments were him doing his thing with no Marvel exec interference. And then you could tell the parts that Marvel was like, you have to do this or you have to show this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of brought down the horror part. But when the horror parts were going on, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And I loved, again, this is audience, if you've not seen the movie, we're going to get into some spoilers real fast here, but the fact that they hid who the main villain of the movie was so well. Like, typically in Marvel marketing, they suck. They drop the ball left and right. We knew Patrick Stewart was going to be in this movie. We knew so many spoilers, but I had no idea that Scarlet Witch was going to be the big bad. Did you?
No, and I had no idea. I honestly had no idea what was going to go on. They really did a good job of not... I mean, they did a good job of making it seem like it was just going to be a cookie-cutter Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect anything that happened.
Yeah, I know it was a little convoluted. I'm not saying it was the best decision, but to come in with, like, fresh eyes and to realize, like, the juxtaposition that you see when Black Bolt in 1191 or whatever universe it is, or 890, whatever, doesn't matter. When Black Bolt just annihilates Doctor Strange, and then Wanda kills Black Bolt without blinking an eye, like, and it's just like the way that the powers scale is just ridiculous. It was so cool.
It was so much fun watching her just, I mean, then they throw, here's Mr. Fantastic. It's John
Krasinski.
Everyone's been talking about, is he going to be Mr. Fantastic? And then she just immediately spaghetti murders him. And
spaghetti then I was like, oh, murder. Shit.
And then I loved how the Illuminati were so full of themselves. They're like, we don't worry about your witch. So when she showed up, I'm like, oh, she's not going to be an issue. She was a huge issue. She was a very big issue for that.
Yeah, she was.
She murdered that entire, you know, Illuminati Marvel of that, you know, of that universe in 5 minutes.
And massively destroyed them. The only thing I will say about that scene is Marvel went semi-woke and the guys were killed first. Maybe they were trying to prove a point, maybe not. But the women put up 10 times the fight that Mr. Fantastic was spaghetti murder instantly.
Yeah. And I don't that really believe, set I the tone of what was going to happen. And then she didn't even murder Black Bolt. He killed himself.
That was funny.
But it also showed, because in the beginning of the movie, the Sorcerer Supreme, whatever his name is like, when he freaked out about her, I'm like, is she that big of an issue? Like, they have Kamala or whatever, the whole thing, and nope, she's going to be a huge issue. And it's like, nope, she's a big issue. I know in the comics she can basically say something and rewrite reality. I didn't know that was the extent of her capabilities.
But I will say, like, the fact that she had this ability to steal America Chavez's powers, and then, like, she made Beast steal the powers, and then she put up this big, like, ritual to steal the powers, and it's like, that when she had America on that, like, platform, and she started to steal the powers, and then like 15 minutes later, we came back to the scene, and she was still stealing the powers. I was like, which one is it? Are you taking the powers, or are you taking a dump?
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to that part, because I was so enthralled with the weird ghost things. Can we talk about the demons?
Yeah, the demons.
How cool was that? First off, the way he comes out of the grave like a zombie, I'm like, this is awesome. This is so weird. But I loved it. And then he's got these demons flying around him. Then he turns it into bat wings. You're like, what the fuck?
It was very creative.
Just for the end, the last half hour was just bananas.
Yeah, no, it was very, Sam did a great job of incorporating his past and what he's done in previous movies. I mean, obviously we have Bruce Campbell as Papa Pizza or Pizza Papa or whatever his name was.
Oh, they're going to sell those at Disney. You better believe
that
it.
That was a big pop in the theater when that scene happened. That was funny. But
physical comedy from Evil Dead, you could see it where he can't control his hand. Yeah. Same like in Evil Dead where he loses control of his hand. Like it was a lot of throwback. I, you know, what they're doing with these directors getting their own, you know, I guess, what do you call it? Like a trilogy where you got James Gunn getting 3 Guardian movies. You're getting Waititi doing hopefully 3 Thors. I know he's doing a second one where they get their own flavor, their own kind of taste that matches the characters that they're that they're filming. I really want to see more Strange with Sam Raimi, and then hopefully maybe Marvel with the feedback and clearly the box office just absolutely murdered last weekend, that they go, hey, let's do like 2 more Strange movies, and let's really just make it Strange, because isn't that his whole thing, is weird? Mm-hmm. It's like the old weird comics, that's Strange. It's the, you know, it's the Lovecraftian and all that bizarre shit. We have the spaceship with, you know, cosmic with all, you know, Guardians and all that. We don't get any of the weird shit and the horror stuff, which I hope we get more of.
Well, that's such a good point, because like even I thought I loved the demon part, and I thought they were going to go into like the Brimstone universe for a second there, and we would see some.
Here's what's other shit, because doesn't Strange fight like weird devils and?
Oh yeah. Oh, he gets into some weird shit. But we could have seen Magica. We could have seen Nightcrawler in like the Brimstone dimension there for a moment, which I was like, that had been really cool. But it would have added 45 minutes runtime onto the movie, and it was already a little bit long.
But it shows you there's more potential and there's more.
Yeah.
More weirdness with Strange, and I hope they really stick to this you know, Strange is going to be weird. It's going to be kind of dark. It's going to be, you know, he deals with these bizarre, fucked up things where, you know, Captain America is, oh, yeah, fight Nazis and all that. And Spider-Man's got his typical villains that we're used to. But Strange does some strange shit. So let's see more of the Strange stuff.
Yeah, I'm for it. I'm for it. And while I would say my overall reaction to the movie, I have some complaints. There was no story. It was a situation, which I think was a little unfortunate. But I enjoyed it. I walked out of that having a lot of fun watching the movie, and that's what it's about. And they captured the magic
now,
and
I
made it cool.
The one part where I looked right at you, because right when Xavier came out in the ridiculous giant whatever yep. floaty thing that he has in the show, and then they played the little tune from from the X-Men animated series, I looked right, I turned my head, I was like, are you freaking, like, they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to put the little jingle. It's just, someone there is like, let's just go ahead and do it. Because
yeah, loved it. That was, but so here's a question for you, and I don't know the answer to this, and it's baffling me. When we look at Loki, and we look at all the variants, every Loki is different, minus President Loki and main Loki. Right? Yeah. We've got Boastful Loki, Alligator Loki, Kid Loki, Girl Loki. When we look at Spider-Man in the multiverse, we have Andrew Garfield, we've got Tobey Maguire, we've got Holland. Why was every Doctor Strange variant exactly the same?
That's a great question. And even, well, we only saw one Wanda. Maybe that's...
But here's my
other universes where he does look the same. I mean,
I can accept that. But so here's the reason why I'm asking the question is, does this movie cement the fact that John Krasinski is Reed Richards in every dimension?
I really hope so, because he played the part as small screen time that he had. I'm like, yes, I want him to be Mr. Fantastic, please. And let's get some Galactus
same,
in there. And
same.
Shit.
Same. And then the same question then, because the same Wanda, Baron Mordo.
We saw different versions of Wanda. Same. She looked the same.
Same. Same. And so Baron Mordo was the same. He was the same as he was in Doctor Strange, the first movie. Is yeah. Professor X, or is Patrick Stewart now MCU canon as mutant Professor X? I got to know.
I don't think he can do like 20 more movies. But it shows that the X-Men are now in it. We now have
they exist.
At least we saw our first. Yeah, we saw our first X-Men in Marvel.
Yes.
Can we give a little applause for that? Even finally. If it was for a minute.
But I think what they really did, which I did really like, is the fact that they set up like the incursion events. So now Secret Wars, X-Men versus Avengers, like these and are all explained by universes colliding.
Well,
I don't know. I think while Doctor Strange Madness of the Multiverse was kind of could have been better. Well, I enjoyed the hell out of it. I hope that it sets up some really cool shit, and I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, and I think we just take a moment and appreciate when he was flying, when she punched the hole through the multiverse and they go flying through it and they turn into paint and all that. I mean, what fantastic like CGI that was. I just thought
that was cool.
Really that was well so, done.
Yeah. Agreed.
It was
agreed.
A quick scene, but it sounded cool and it looked cool. And I'm like, I just want to watch that scene again.
And the payoff of when she's like, oh, you got to throw up. And he's like, no, I'm good.
But it's that slapstick kind of horror that you see in Evil Dead. It's just,
yeah,
it was everywhere in the movie. I mean, from the camera, when it goes into the good Wanda's house and it flies in like the thing in Evil Dead, and then she's walking and her picture turns and looks at her in a weird
way.
Evil Dead.
Awesome.
It was all Evil Dead. I'm like, this is great. It's so weird. And when she was chasing them and she's got blood and she looks like the thing that came out of the floor. I don't know if you remember that in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just chased this horrible demonic. When she came out of the mirror, remember? And she was all like contorted. I'm like, this is fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. And the whole part with the water reflections where she's like grabbing them and pulling them down into puddles. Like, yeah.
It was great. And it took me, and again, it took me to like middle of the movie to be like, oh, this is what we're watching.
Yeah.
And then I'm totally. Like, this is fucking good. Yeah. It had problems like most Marvel movies do, but I like that they did something totally different. The last time I saw a movie like that was in Marvel was Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else has been pretty cookie cutter. I mean, Guardians definitely had its own flair, but in terms of recent Marvel stuff that's come out, it's definitely, you know, one of my more favorites. I liked the new Spider-Man a lot. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really watched it again for a second time, but this one, for some reason, I want to watch the Strange one again.
Good. I mean, you totally should.
Yeah. So those are my thoughts. Any final thoughts on you?
No, I think we've been rambling for a while. We've been Ericless for some time.
Yeah, we kind of nerded out there, but it means that we
did, and
we enjoyed continue. It. We had fun. We didn't go in there and been like, "Well, this was other shit."
Right, and it all depends on how you take it. And I think if you take what we saw with a positive. It's not going to win any awards, and that's not supposed to. It's just supposed to satisfy your needs to see some cool shit.
Satisfy it did.
Damn. Yes. Well, I'm so glad I missed all of that.
I didn't see the movie.
This is honestly a first. I'm so sad. Deep down, I just want to go see it, and I will. I will. I promise I will. I'll go back and listen to the episode. We will definitely talk about it. Not rehash this all again, but definitely offline.
Any of this after you see it, then we can get your input.
Yeah. Can't wait. Well, in other movie news, I don't know if you guys saw this little new trailer for this ancient franchise. Is it even a franchise yet? But Avatar: The Way of Water, starring Zoolander, I think. Water is the essence of wetness.
Yeah, we saw the next movie.
Before Strange. But yeah, there's the trailer there for it.
I did not know that was happening. I was like, oh shit, this is actually happening after 85 years. We're getting the trailer to the new.
Yeah, it was all right. I want to know some thoughts here. So let's just jump into our next main quest of the evening. But like, what are some of our initial thoughts of Avatar: The Way of Water? I mean, is it too late? Is it like the Dumb and Dumber effect? Is it something we're excited about? Jeff, I want to toss this one over to you first.
I mean, I've had more exposure to Avatar at the Disney park in Animal Kingdom than I have with the movie, because that's how many non-existent movies have been out for it.
Right.
I mean, I'm excited in the fact that the only thing that's got me still kind of on it is because of the Disney park. Without that, I would be like, I'm very indifferent. I'm excited about it, I guess. I mean, I like the first one. You know, it was cool.
Yeah.
The water stuff sounds interesting because it seems like there could be a lot of cool shit down there. But the trailer honestly just looked like someone was showing their 3D graphics rendering capabilities. There was no talk. I have no idea what the movie's about. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
I hope they don't spoil it or do some shit, you know. But sure, I'm excited. He's been working on it for a while. It's James Cameron. I mean, his sequel records are pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, he did. There was Terminator, and then he made Terminator 2, which was even better. Then we had Aliens, which was great. And then he made Aliens, which was even better. I mean, so I guess we're in for a really good movie because he's really good at making sequels.
Yeah, good points. Justin, how about you?
So I'm echoing pretty much everything that Jeff said. The trailer itself was weird with no dialogue until like the last like 10 seconds. So it did feel like a film student's reel, which I thought was odd. But you know, and the one thing I will say in defense of Jimmy Cameron is it took him, I believe, 10, 11, 12 years to get the first Avatar movie off the ground. So he started working on that in the 90s.
Jeez, yeah.
And it finally launched when the technology was up to snuff in 2009. So I don't want to shit on the fact that it's taken so long for the second one to come out, because he is kind of a perfectionist, and it comes out in the movies that he creates, which is obviously a good thing.
Yeah.
But okay. I watched this and it did nothing for me. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know anybody's name. Apparently it's just full of Fast and the Furious references where they're just like, we're family now. I'm just like, okay, so we live life a quarter mile at a time now in Avatar land.
That'd be so funny if, like, the only thing to come out of this last 100 years going into 2100 is that family, Fast the Furious. Like, that's all this 100 years will be known for. Thanks, yeah. Universal. But I agree with you guys. Like, I was, I guess, whelmed by the teaser trailer. I'll be honest, it looked exactly like the visual effects we saw in 2009. So I didn't really see anything that stood out that was like, holy crap. Like, you could tell the difference between Modern Warfare 2 and, like, you know, whatever the latest one is, right? Like, they really enhanced 10 years of technology has brought us here. Like, oh my God, 13 years. Fuck. It's been 13 years. But I agree with Jeff's points that, it, you know, and you as well, Justin, that it's, you know, it's Jim Cameron and he is well known. It's not like he's some, you know, it's not like they're handing it off to Ryan Johnson for the sequel. This is his baby and he's taken it and taken his time with it. And I'm sure it's going to be for good reasons. I don't know if it's going to be one of those movies where it blows you away like the first one did, because obviously that was more in the realm of like IMAX and 3D was hot at the time. So now without that, what's this one going to be like? What is it going to bring to the theaters? They're going to be like impromptu waterfalls or like water splashes and cannons in the theaters. I mean, I would love that. I would love that, but I agree with you guys. Like, give me a little bit more. I get it's a teaser, but no clue what the story is. He said 5 words and it was all about family, like you said, Justin. So I don't know. Like, to me, it kind of is like the Dumb and Dumber effect. Like, too many years have gone by. I feel like, did it lose steam? And in between, they did, like Jeff said, make that whole Disney Avatar land, which is kind of, it is cool. Trust me. If you've never been there, you definitely got to go check it out. But like, it's just so weird, like, this franchise so far. And there's, like, I think 3, 4, and 5, like, behind it. Like, he's got 4 more movies lined up, if I recall, which is crazy. Like, how do we know the second one's going to be good and people are going to go see it? I mean, obviously, it's Jim Cameron, but fuck, man. Is he getting ahead of himself? I'm a little bit worried.
Mm.
I don't know.
No, I think you make some great points. Both of you make some great points. And I would be curious to see the financial backing that he's got for Part 3, 4, and 5 and 6 and whatever million other movies that they're going to fund for him based on the performance of the second one. And I'm sure it's going to do well. It's going to make a shit ton of money.
I mean, look how much it made the last time.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's a good movie. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be worth a part three.
Yeah. So from Wikipedia, just a quick little quotation here. But they're making 2 and 3, which I think are already done. And they're going to see if people go see them. And if they do, they're going to make 4 and 5. Which, I mean, that's, I guess, that's a smart way to doing it. But
yeah.
Fuck, man. I really enjoyed the first one. Second one, we'll see what happens. I hope they find new storytelling. Because I know the first one was a lot of mixed things happening that we probably already seen. So I'd be curious to see how they expand on this universe and where they go. Hopefully it's more of like a John Wick expansion as opposed to like Fast and the Furious 8, where just now we're in another space planet and it just happens to be water. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. The way of water.
Exciting. The way of water and wetness. So boys, I want to take us into our segment of the day. And then I want to jump back into a main quest, but let's first talk about a little retro movie.
Bond. James Bond.
I'll be back.
You shall not pass!
right. The retro movie of this week is none other than the 2009 Jim Cameron movie Avatar. So we felt that it's been enough years now that we can call this movie retro. And I know we kind of skated on by talking about Avatar for this reason, for your entertainment, folks. We did all for the LOLs. But boys, this movie came out in 2009. I was just about to graduate college. You guys, I think, were full-blown adults at that time. I loved this movie when it came out. I loved watching it in IMAX in 3D when 3D was actually kind of like, I'll say, hip. This was one of the only movies I cared to watch in 3D. And I'm so glad I did and so glad I got to experience it. And the story was dog shit. Let's all be honest. The story was just dog shit, like Pocahontas meets whatever. And the rock that they were trying to go after was unobtainium. Like, come on, Jim. ten years, that's the secret metal. Justin, walk me through some of your first experiences. Did you see it in theaters or was it a red box?
Yeah, so I might be mistaken, but I think, Jeff, we saw this together. And I think
I think I saw it with my dad. It was a while ago.
It was a very long time ago, and I remember going, I mean, this was very early in our relationship. And I remember going to see it at random ass theater near the Rock Bottom in Naperville or whatever the shit it was. And it was like $18 a ticket to see it in 3D IMAX. And I was like so peeved about that because I had like no money. And I'm like, I'm going to pay $18 to see Fern Gully. And I think Dave Bennett was there. But I got to say, like, I watched this movie. And while the visuals were very impressive, like, I was just kind of like, it did nothing for me.
Oh,
I was like,
wow. Like,
okay, this is unobtainium, really? Really? Unobtainium. That's what you came up with for this unobtainable mineral.
Yeah, it's so good. Jeff, what about you? If you were there with him or...
all I remember with the... I mean, the story was whatever. I was just more focused on the visual of it, I guess, because it was really cool. This, you know, the world he created and, like, the people on the world and the whole like lore and mythos behind the whole thing. That's what I enjoyed the most. I mean, the story is, yeah, whatever. It's Fern Gully. I mean, it is Fern Gully. If anyone says otherwise, they're an idiot. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, it was really cool to look at. It was fun to watch. That was about it. I mean, that's all I kind of. Yeah, the story was just whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for what it's worth, too, when we were in Disney a few years ago, Jeff, and we were at Animal Kingdom, and the first time that I experienced that portion of the park, when you live it, damn, is it cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool.
And Disney, I remember it had this Disney effect before it was even a Disney thing, when you left that movie... You felt so depressed. Like, we went out back into the snow, into the cold, and there was this, like, kind of almost like this wave of people across the U.S. where you see these news articles and people online that are just like, it's like post-Avatar depression. Like, you're just like, you don't want to be on this planet. Like, how can I get to Pandora and live there? Like, at night, it's so fucking cool. Everything lights up, and you're flying on banshees, and, like, it just looks so cool and tropical, regardless of, like, all the, you know, bloodshed and people getting killed. Great. But, you know, it was sad. It was sad when you left the theater.
It was very depressing. I remember my brother, everyone was just like, feel like shit for, like, a few days. It shouldn't have come out during Christmas. It came out in, like, January. Like, the holidays are over. So it's already shitty as it is. It's like, see this great movie. It's very visually stunning. It's in 3D, so you feel like you're there, and then you get out of the theater. And like you said, Eric, you're just fucking depressed.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, all these years later, now that we're grown men, much wiser and much more mature, I wonder if after we walk out of the theater this go around in the new movie, will we feel the same effect? Will it take us back there to those moments?
I'll tell you what, we should rewatch the first movie before diving into the way of the water.
Yes. Oh, we are. You know, that's just a fact.
Just saying.
We definitely should. I think that'll be a great idea. And I wouldn't be surprised knowing Jim Cameron. I mean, got him on my speed dial. But knowing that he'll probably re-release the first one in theaters like a lot of these other franchise and trilogies are, just to kind of refresh your memory, experience it for probably a lot of people that weren't even alive 13 years ago. Now we have like 13-year-olds running around like, oh, I get to go see Avatar. It's PG-13. I'm of age now. That was like us.
I'm of age.
I'm of age. Give me the longest of islands. Of age.
But it kind of, you know, I was excited. I feel like they released the trailer, the teaser at a good time, because now I'm kind of pumped for like summer blockbusters. I know you guys already got your juices flowing with Multiverse of Madness, but I feel like just coming up in May, it's like, I love to get hyped for just any dumbass blockbuster movie. Just give me a blockbuster movie. Give me a big.
And to your point, Eric, give you that blockbuster movie that you're just wanting.
Yeah.
You missed it. There was one. It was over the weekend.
It's going to be the one and only.
I need that blockbuster movie. I need all that.
I swear.
It's already here.
I swear. And on top of that, just a little quick side quest for those out there that are in the same predicament as me. The hardest part about all this is staying the fuck off the internet. Because as I scroll through Reddit or Facebook or Instagram, whatever, I know that the clock is ticking, that spoilers and screenshots, and just someone's going to flat out just say, oh, Doctor Strange dies in Act 2. I'm doomed. I'm fucked. Like, you are. I'm trying my best, and it's very difficult to stay off the internet because what else is there to do in this world, you know? Thanks, Mark Zuckerberg. It got me kind of thinking, you know, outside of Multiverse of Madness, are there any other blockbusters we're looking forward to? Any other blockbusters maybe in the past that you miss and you wish you could go back and relive? I know it's a lot to take in, boys, so soak it up. But, Justin, you're always good at this stuff with the top of your head. Any new or old blockbusters come to mind that you just wish you could relive?
I remember the first time I saw Independence Day, I saw it at a drive-in theater, and it was neck to knees with The Nutty Professor, 1996. That was a hell of a weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know that, and maybe this is a side question really quick, but like, does the new Elvis movie by Baz Luhrmann coming out in June next month, is that going to be a blockbuster? Baz Luhrmann he's nailed everything from Romeo and Juliet to The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
And now we have Elvis with Tom Hanks, not as Elvis, but how is that going to do? Is that count?
Let's be real loose on the definition, because I admit any movie that, whether the story is good or not, that you can just sit back and eat some popcorn and have a great fucking time and feel like at the end of it, damn, that was money well spent. I'm so glad I experienced this. Like, I consider that a blockbuster, but in the very general or the very like specific sense of the term, like Independence Day would be a blockbuster, right? But honestly, let's open it up. Who the fuck cares? We kind of call the shots here, I guess, right? We don't report to anybody. Oops. I hope
not. Our overlord is not happy with us right now. We are all canceled. Yeah. And that's the end of the episode and show. Thank you all for joining
series
us.
Series finale. Thank you. But yeah, no, I mean, honestly, Independence Day is a great one. I feel like Jurassic Park was an experience. I feel like that one definitely was.
The Matrix
was another one. Sad that it had to end on a shit note. Damn, there's so many good blockbusters out there. But again, Fire, like,
a great one.
Yeah. I mean, the Elvis Presley, I did catch the trailer of that. And I mean, I eat up any Tom Hanks movie, so sign me up. You know,
good man.
I'm in. Even Frozen. Are you? Frozen's a blockbuster.
Is it? I've never seen it.
Oh, come on! You have to see it at least once in your life, Jeff. Tell him.
It's a chilling movie.
It's a horror. So it's a hard R.
It's so a hard.
Batman and Robin's also a chilling movie.
Gosh. Oh, yeah. You're very, very right. And I hope in the sequel to The Batman with Robert Pattinson,
Still haven't seen it.
Oh, what?
It's 3 hours. Like, I gotta
okay. That's bad. Justin yelled at him.
No, I can't. I haven't seen it either.
Oh, my God. Both of you.
I don't have 3 hours in my day to just sit on my ass and be like,
But yeah, I was going to say, except maybe 2 hours and 48 minutes for Multiverse of Madness, though. That 12 minutes, ooh, boy. But you guys have to see the Batman. Again, it's probably one of my favorites. It's up there in at least the top two, top three. But
I will say that I have started watching the Peacemaker show.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. That's a funny one.
I'm rolling along with that.
I like that.
Yay, DC. Yay, you can do it.
I like that. I got to ask you a side quest. Do we like those, like, disaster movies, like Independence Day, like 2012, like, you know, you fill in the blank, Armageddon? And if so, do you want more of those or less of those? I feel like I'll answer it first. I do love those disaster movies, but I feel like they've really done a steep nosedive from what we've had since Independence Day. I wish there was more of them, but better stories. I was tempted to watch this, like, Moonfall movie where it's all about, like, I don't know, the moon's a robot or a creature and we have to go to space to kill it or destroy it.
The robot?
Something like that. But I was, like, tempted to watch it, but I'm like, is this going to be a movie where I just fucking turn it off after 20 minutes and ask myself, why did I just do that? So... what do you guys think? Do you love those disaster movies? And if so, do you want more of them and how and what kinds of movies? So Justin, I'm putting you on the spot so much tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I've not seen Moonfall. I did watch the Honest trailer for Moonfall, which when I don't watch a movie, I just watch the Honest trailer from Screen Junkies. And I'm like, oh, I've learned everything I need to, and I don't need to watch this movie. But I wanted so much from that movie. Samuel Tarly's in it as a astronaut scientist fat kid guy, but yes. That's cool for him. But no, I like the disaster movies. I liked Deep Impact. I liked Armageddon. I just, as we sit in 2022 and realize that these situations are coming closer and closer every day, it's kind of depressing.
Very good point. A long time ago it was fantasy. Now it's like, holy fuck, we're like a fart away from something happening that's just gonna destroy our planet. Oh my God. Jeff, what about you, Mr. Disaster Boy?
No, I don't really want disasters in the form of, like, oh, there's a crater gonna explode or some volcano, but I'd like to see more kaiju movies. We got Pacific Rim, the first one, which was awesome. Never saw the second one. Heard it was absolute dog shit. Newest Godzilla was pretty damn good. I just want to see more giant monsters wrecking shit and doing that. So in disaster in that way, yeah, I want to see more kaijus.
So okay. real quick side quest, double down. Jeff, did you like Cloverfield?
I did. Yeah, I liked it
quite nice. I also love Cloverfield.
Yeah, that was an awesome movie.
Cool.
Yeah, I think Eric, you and I saw that.
Oh my God, that was.
I saw it with my younger brother. We went to like the midnight showing because him and I became obsessed with like the online marketing and all the shit they were doing with the
with like the slusho
and stuff. Yeah, and, like, I love movies that build this whole like, you know, like kind of mythos behind the whole thing, like this whole lore and stuff. I love that.
Mm.
Great movie. I loved it.
Are we all going to be getting tickets very soon for Jurassic World Dominion? Can we all not wait for it?
Yeah, I'm going to go see it, but I'm not going to go to
the... Oh, no, Jeff. Don't do it. Why?
Well,
second one sucked so bad.
It
the
did.
I mean, like I said, that's I'll see it. Taste. I'm just not going to go to the theater to see it.
Yeah, I give you shit, but I will probably see it whenever it comes out. I just the second one left such a bad taste in my mouth that it was so disappointing. The first,
so stupid.
It was Jurassic World. I thought did a good job bringing this into the new age with, you know, reinvigorating and giving it some juice and exciting people. And then they just take a huge, big old dump, dinosaur dump on the second one.
Dino, dude.
And now they're scrambling to try to save it with, like, what, Sam Neill and all the original cast with, Ian Malcolm and, God, Jeff Goldblum, Jesus Christ. and the
Sorry,
rest
Jeff
of them.
Goldblum, I know you're listening. Just really quick, I've said this before on the podcast, but Jurassic Park belongs in the park. When you take it out of the park, what the fuck is the point?
Yes.
You could kill dinosaurs with, you know, giant, you know, missiles and things. I don't understand what they're doing. It's not like Godzilla got loose and he eats nuclear missiles for breakfast. This is like, I'm pretty sure a T-Rex, as crazy and scary as they are, you take an Apache helicopter, I think, could take it down in about a couple seconds.
Well, I've got, Jeff, I know you said you want to see big beasts and fighting and, you know, things like that. So I got this great little movie coming out for you in 2023, just about June 9th, a little over a year from now. It's called Transformers Rise of the Beast. It's coming back. It's coming in hot. You're going night one, midnight showing. I can't wait to take you.
At what point did you become delusional? The point that you're watching good movies.
It's not. They're blockbusters. I love the stupid, no stories.
It's the same thing with this. They're as bad as the new Jurassic Park movies.
Well, yes. That's true, but I'd much rather watch cars turn into robots and fight each other for 2.5 hours than, like, Chris Pratt doing the one and only move for 50 minutes where he's like got his hand out trying to make sure the raptor doesn't get to him, or he's putting him on in a trance.
At least this new movie has Jeff Goldblum in it.
They'll find a way, don't worry. He'll probably be the voice of one of the beasts, you know, with his little wow, you know. They'll find a way. But awesome. I can't wait to take you there, Jeff. We're going to go see it opening night. We're going to post it all over social media. So everybody, set your calendars and alarms for June 9th, 2023, and remind us that we're going to go see it. Can't wait. Can't wait for that spoiler episode. We're going to go real deep into it. But no, I mean, guys, I we love blockbuster movies. It's a big Marvel summer and Marvel fall and spring. So Thor, Love and Thunder and all those other movies coming out. So I just can't wait. I'm still just so jealous. I have no clue what happens in Multiverse of Madness. I can't wait to see it. I'm sure there's tons and tons and tons of things to talk about. And I'm so upset that I can't. I just want to go on a pirate ship and find a way to get it in my home. But Disney and the mouse would come after me and put me in jail forever.
You need to see it in the theaters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Always see it in the theaters, kids. Go support your local theaters.
It's got some...
Oh, yeah, I did hear that it is, you know, Sam Raimi, obviously, but, like, it's more on the, more a little bit on the horror side. You know, it's definitely a little bit scary. Maybe I might be scared. I don't know.
I jumped a couple of times, so some of those jump scares got me.
Ooh, I can't wait. I hope, because obviously we know some things. You guys already talked spoilers, but, like, stuff that came out in the trailer, like, I already know Patrick Stewart's in it, so maybe, I hope he's a jump scare. Where, like, he comes out from behind the door in his hoverboard and scares everybody. And he says, boo, oops, tell him the truce. Or however he talks. Oops.
Tell him the what? The truce?
Tell him the truce. We must tell him the truce. All right, boys, that's it. That's all we got. I hope everybody had fun out there. Fun little jam-packed episode. Let us know your thoughts on Multiverse of Madness. I just post it everywhere. I won't be on the internet for the next 5 days until I go see it. And then let us know about Avatar. Do you give a shit about it? No one, I mean, did you see the last one? Were you even born then? Let us know about it. Let us know your home location, social security number, and credit card numbers. We appreciate that. Because we do need some money, to keep the lights on. Right, Jeff? So anyways, boys, with that, let's end the episode. How are we going to do it? I don't know. You guys decide. Something about Jurassic Park or Multiverse of Madness that you can't say.
Well, I can do a T-Rex noise. Justin can
do a raptor,
a giant squid thing in Multiverse of Madness. Eric,
how about? All right, and I'll be Patrick Stewart on the hoverboard coming in, seeing it all.
Perfect. So Jeff, me, Eric, go.
Brrrr.
Oh, was that a fart? Let's tell him the truce.